Well, we wouldn't be able to wrap up our coverage of the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon appropriately if we didn't go back and talk to the guy with whom we started our Bear Grease coverage, basically, in the summer, when we talked about the fact that Jason Rice was going to run the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon. I got to say, I got a soft spot in my heart for Jason because he's a reporter who fell in love with something and going out and covering it as a journalist and took it all the way to saying, I want to become a part of this. Jason, congratulations, Rookie of the Year.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you. It was I wasn't thinking Rookie of the Year when I was on the trail, I guarantee you that. I was just thinking, you know, stick to the plan with these dogs. They're trained to go a long, long ways and keep them healthy, not go too fast, help them out on the hills, and Rookie of the Year was the furthest thing from my mind. I just wanted to get it done and get it done safely for all of us and just follow a plan that the dogs were used to.
Well, you know, you had leased a team from Ryan Reddington, and of course you knew that your mentor, you know, the Reddingtons, your mentors, John Stetson, your mentors, you knew also that you were going to have to go back and face these people at some point, and all the other people that you had gotten to know through mushing, and you took that jump from, you know, spectator and fan to participant. Was that hard for you, just in the sense of all of the people, of maybe wondering about the expectations of everybody around you?
Well, I guess maybe the beauty of it is that since I've been around, I know all of the mushers that I was out there on the trail with, and I know a lot of the handlers and a number of the volunteers. I don't think anybody was expecting, and certainly not me, were expecting it to go quite this way. I don't think that I had a whole ton of expectations on me, but, you know, maybe I did, because people knew that, you know, people in the mushing community knew that I was running a team of high-powered Reddington dogs, and that, let's not, you know, beat around the bush. That is a big factor, the fact that these are trail-tested dogs. You can't just go do this with any old dogs. These dogs were ready to take me there. And if we had gotten up and had another run to do even after coming into Grand Portage, these dogs were so trail-hardened and tough, those dogs would have taken me on another run yet. And I'm sure that's true with a number of the other experienced mushers. So, but as far as, like, how it was going to come out, I don't think anybody was necessarily banking on me to come in a top three finish. And, you know, I guess I surprised myself. I knew the dogs were capable of it. I didn't know if I would know all the right things to do to manage their speed. That's really critical on the trail. The dogs want to go fast, like, at every opportunity that they get. And it's tough when you're in a competition to actually intentionally hold back. But I did. I did, because I know from past experience mushing in the mid-distance, if you go too fast, you take a little bit of that edge off of them, that drive. You want to leave them wanting for more, not leave it so that they've spent everything and it's all gone. So the question, I guess, was how well would the rookie be able to manage speeds and endurance of the team over those miles. So I still think I could have done a little bit better at that, but all in all, I am very pleased with the run.
Now, tell me again, you've been around the Bear Grease, of course, for a decade or more now, and, you know, become more and more involved in the race. So, again, you were very familiar with a lot of these ins and outs. You've talked to a lot of mushers, spent a lot of time in conversation. Once it was you on the trail with your dogs, running the full marathon, what, good or bad, was unexpected for you?
Oh, my goodness. All kinds of things. I really didn't realize how sharp some of the turns are that we have to make at times on the trail. And there are a number of times during the race where the trail actually, the Bear Grease Trail, ventures off of the groomed snowmobile trail. And so for small little stretches here and there, you're on kind of a icy, plowed Forest Service road. And that's pretty sketchy with a fast dog team, because you have a hard time managing their speed on an icy road. It was a little bit challenging. I think also there's a couple of spots where I was like, whoa, I didn't see that turn coming in the dark. You know, your headlamp only goes so far, and you're going around a corner, and then as soon as you come around the corner, oh my gosh, we're dropping off the edge of a cliff here. That no matter what, even I think people who are prepared for it, like, it makes their blood kind of pump for a minute. You're like, okay, hold on, ride that brake, hold on, and get low in case we roll, you know? It's got some terrifying moments. And then the other thing that I think was a surprise, that run from Mineral Center, this new loop introduced this year to add a few miles, Mineral Center coming literally within about 20 feet of the Canadian border and then coming back down into Grand Portage, that is a very, very rugged trail, very. And there are a lot of very extreme hills there. There's not as many in number as you see, like, in that Schroeder, Tofte, Lutzen area, Sawbill. The run basically from Finland to Sawbill is extremely hilly, one after another. But they're not super long hills, most of them. Some of these hills in the last section, when you're already tired and your dogs have already poured their hearts out for 200-plus miles, now you're asking them to do the biggest hills of the race. One of these days, I want to go look at, like, a topographical map and see. I swear those were some of the biggest hills I've ever seen. And it could have just been the exhaustion factor with me, but that was an unexpected climb to have to make over and over and over in that last run.
So when, I don't know how much information you were able to keep up on during the course of the race, but when you came upon your mentor and the man that everybody assumed was going to win the Bear Grease again this year, Ryan Reddington, stopped or slowed down by the trail, what did you think and what did you do?
Well, I was warned as I was about to leave Mineral Center that the reports coming over the radio, the only information I got, I could just hear the radio chatter on some of the people's mobile radios. And I heard that Blake had actually passed Ryan, and that Ryan was indeed, and his GPS was showing him stopped on the trail. And then there was a report that he was apparently going to turn around. I don't know where the report came from, but there was a report. Erin Reddington, Ryan's wife, came to me and said, just so you know, you may end up passing Ryan head on because he's coming back into the checkpoint. Well, about 5 or 6 miles into the race, or into that leg, that finishing leg, I did come across Ryan, and his dogs were just kind of lounging there. They were laying down. Ryan was doing some work at his sled, and I suppose he was figuring out, you know, maybe snacks or something to break their mood. I don't know for sure, but he was working, and he had been there for a while. It's fair to say he was glad to see me because, you know, these were the kennel mates, the brothers and sisters of the dogs in his team, and he was hoping to use me for motivation. So I stopped there, and he got the dogs a little more excited. And they naturally, all of my dogs were looking back at their buddies, and it's kind of like they said, come on, let's go. And sure enough, it did work. It did hold me back a while, but that was okay. Ryan wanted to get to the finish. His dogs, as far as I know, were healthy. They had just hit, I think, a mental point where, hey, there's only six of us, and this is a tough challenge. We're not in the mood. It happens. This happens. Every musher out there has seen this happen, and unfortunately it happened to Ryan's run, you know, having that significant lead. But I was happy and proud that Ryan was able to get the dogs up, and I was able to help, and then he followed me for a number of miles until finally my dogs, having 9 and pulling me. I probably weigh a little bit less than Ryan. Maybe not. Maybe we're similar. But they were willing to get up and go and follow, and then my dogs were able to just put some distance on. But at least I knew that he had gotten going again.
Right.
But meanwhile, then Jen caught up to me, and I realized that, well, place-wise, it is what it is, but I helped get Ryan going.
Exactly. Well, and of course, she had 12 dogs, if I'm remembering correctly.
And they were doing great. Her team, her and I actually mushed side by side down a country road, big wide plowed road, and we were side by side for a mile or so, and we were just talking, and her team was just looking really happy, and so, you know, with 12 dogs, she had a lot of horsepower still. She had three more dogs still pulling hard and wagging tail. So good for her. She had a great run.
Jason, are you going to do it again?
It's not in my plans. Okay. You know, my
of course, by the way, this is a really bad time to ask a musher if they're going to run the race again when it's a day after the race. People are still exhausted, and the cold is just so brutal. But I kind of got a little personal wager with Stetson on this, so don't blow it. Are you going to do it again, Jason?
So the answer is a definitely probably not.
Okay.
So what I mean is I don't own sled dogs, and this was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime sort of experience to get to drive this kind of caliber dog team. And I just don't see, I can't say it would never happen again, but I have no plans on it. So right now I have no plans. If somebody came to me with some amazing plan that fit into my life, then maybe I would consider it. But there's no plans to keep on going after this. This was just really cool to walk a mile in the shoes of the mushers who are out there doing this all the time, and I appreciate them so much more seeing what they go through.
What did you learn
about?
And
the handlers.
John mentioned those yesterday about the incredible work the handlers do.
They go so unsung. Shirley Bisterhop, making sure that always that I was getting food and getting water, and she made sure that I didn't sit up and talk too long, that I just went and laid down and got even just an hour of sleep. She just insisted on it constantly, and handling me was probably just as difficult as handling the dogs. She was pitching in doing the dog chores right along with the whole Reddington pit crew. I mean, we had an awesome handling crew. They take care of all the dog work so that I could actually sleep and have enough energy to go run some more hills, because I did quite a bit of running out there.
What did you learn about yourself?
I learned that actually I'm tougher than I ever gave myself credit for. I wasn't certain that I was steady enough to do this, but I had to challenge myself and at least try it, and that was kind of what this was about. I didn't know how it would resolve, but man, with the help that I had, I was really never cold during the race, surprisingly enough. I never got cold. It was fantastic. My mucklucks were amazing. Ross Fraboni, the 2014 Bear Grease Mid-Distance champ, he's a neighbor of mine here in Duluth, and he gave me his cold weather parka. I was never cold, so that was a big, big factor. I think it showed me that I could conquer cold, too. I don't like cold naturally, even though I do some cold weather sports. I don't love it, and I just never felt cold during the race. That was huge. It kept my attitude up.
So you've talked about your challenge, these different events that you're going to enter this year to challenge yourself, and I'm trying to remember which one's coming up next.
Okay, so next then would be Grandma's. And I'm just as scared, but for different reasons. You know, the nice thing is it's one day. The not nice thing is it's a pounding on the pavement for a guy who's not usually pounding the pavement. So it's going to be its own new challenge.
When it comes time for you to start training for the Birkebeiner, and I realize that this would not be a long-term solution at all, but are you tempted at all to try skijoring? Now that you've become such a dog handler guy?
No, I'm a dog driver. I'm a jockey. I get on other people's well-trained dogs. So, you know, just being very honest there, I do have a little bit of a knack for sensing when it's okay to do what. But that's I'm still developing that skill. But as far as ski-joring, wow, I mean, one dog pulling just me on skis, that could get out of control and insane. That's a whole new scary thing. But that one I'd like to try for fun sometime with a dog that really likes to go slow.
You've got 2020, Jason. You've got enough planned for 2019, but you've got 2020. You've got plenty of time to scare yourself spitless. There's lots of time there.
Well, we'll just see about that ski-joring stuff. I've never even tried it. I've seen it done. I've just never tried it. So,
well, congratulations.
It's something that would be fun to try.
Congratulations again from all of us here at KUMD. Thanks so much for giving us this insider look into what it was like to join the race. And are you going to be back doing our trail reports with John next year?
I think there's a good likelihood. I'm going to be back as a fan. The fan part of my spirit doesn't go away just because I'm not on the runners or on the board. Volunteers are the critical piece of this. So I'm going to volunteer and help however I'm able to help and wherever my talents are best used. But I'm going to continue to help out with Bear Grease, absolutely. The people have to step forward to volunteer. Otherwise, this race just cannot happen.
Well, and we also learned, too, of course, that you're really good at coaching dogs through their interviews. So there's, you know, there could be working as a media liaison just for the dogs. This could be a whole new career opportunity for you, Jason.
Well, you never know. I could be an agent for Blowhole. And by the way, one closing note on Blowhole, if I might.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got a huge Twitter following, I understand.
Yeah. Well, that dog, I actually had gone about a mile and a half. Leaving Sawbill, and Blowhole was just showing some strong signs that he was not in the mood to run, and he was probably my biggest dog physically. I did not want to have to carry him for 50 more miles in the sled. There was nothing physically wrong with him. It just looked like he was not mentally in the mood to run, and I did not want to risk having him be a distraction for 50 miles. So I turned around, made the tough decision, and I knew it was costing me probably big time, but I think when you don't know, and I don't know every quirk of the dog's personalities, and I guess a more experienced musher could have gotten him through it. I brought him back, left him with the veterinary team at Sawbill Checkpoint, and then I turned around and left and went back out on the trail and resumed that run. So instead of a 51-mile run, I did about a 54, 55-mile run, minus Blowhole. And it turned out later the vet team said there was absolutely nothing physically wrong with him. You could have carried on. And what I learned from that was more time yet with the dogs, especially if they're not yours and you're not used to their quirks and how they behave, more time in the saddle with Blowhole, and I would have learned how to work him through that situation. And so that was an error I made. That was a judgment error that I made. I made it for the best interest of what I thought appeared to me at the time that it was a dog who wasn't feeling like working that day, and I didn't want to make him do so. So
he may lose Twitter followers as a result. I mean, we'll be able to see, but it will be interesting to see how his fan base responds to the fact that he let you down. Jason,
still a good dog.
We gotta go. Thanks a million for joining us. Congratulations again. Can't wait to have you back on the air with us as a part of our reporting team next year for the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon. Jason Rice, our Rookie of the Year, joined us this morning as our guest on KUMD.